been to a couple of conferences recently, and both of them were on end-of-life issues, different focus, but some overlap. But they were addressing the medical complexities that come with the advances in science and technology, all of which has contributed to make medicine a much more complicated process. And so we were dealing with how people are to deal with this situation that they're confronted with. Medicine is able to do many things. And so the questions arise, morally, what should we do? Just because something can be done, should it be done? And if so, for how long? And what should we do to be faithful Christians in addressing those critical times in our life? During one of the sessions, one of the persons, and there was a mixture in the audience, most were Catholic, but some were of Protestant denominations, and some Jews, and some, I'm sure, unbelievers. One man asked an observation and a question. He said, "It seems to me that people of faith who believe in this beautiful afterlife, as they describe it, take extraordinary efforts to prolong this life and to avoid going to that heaven, while the people who profess no belief in an afterlife have no trouble ending this life, even affirmatively, in suicide, assisted suicide, euthanasia." He said, "It seems like an incongruity here." Well, he was able, or we were able at least, to explain how the Catholic approach is. But the Catholic faith is one, in this area, as in many others, it's one of balance. It's not necessarily an either or, but an and in both. We treasure and we value this life. We know there's a better home awaiting us. We know that's our ultimate goal. But God gave us this life, and so we treasure it as well. And so we don't do anything affirmatively and directly to end it, to take unto ourselves the time and manner in which we will die. We leave that to Almighty God. But beyond that, we're not obligated to do everything that science can do to keep this life going. We can take into consideration the burdens it places on us, including financial pressure, family pressures, other considerations. And so it's a weighing and a balancing. I thought as I was looking at our readings today, they really capture so beautifully this balance that the Catholic faith uses in dealing with life. That first reading today, read so beautifully a moment ago. God did not make death, nor does he rejoice in the destruction of the living. Interestingly, that death wasn't, according to this author, a part of God's original plan when he created human beings. He made them good and whole. And there was harmony, if you remember, in the first two chapters of Genesis, perfect harmony between the man and the woman, between them and nature, and most importantly, between them and God. Perfect unity and perfect harmony. But that all ended in the third chapter of Genesis. And our writers today told us that God formed man to be imperishable, to live forever. But then he goes on to say, but by envy of the devil, death entered the world. St. Paul, in his letter to the Romans, said that sin causes death. It's not a good that God had planned originally. And yet it is a reality. death is a reality for all of us. But Jesus Christ has ensured that death will not have the last word. And he shows us that God values life, all life. Our gospel today, Jesus raises from death to life this 12-year-old girl who seemingly would have little value in the culture of her day. But she had value to Jesus, and he showed that by raising her to life. The woman, hemorrhaging for 12 years, caused her to be ritually impure, and everyone she touched became impure. And so she was isolated, set apart, kind of like lepers. She was socially dead. But she had faith that Jesus could heal her, that he had the power to do that. And so humbly, from behind, so that he didn't see her, she approached and touched his cloak. And power went out from Jesus. He did heal her. Jesus shows us that all life, God created all life to be good, and he has that desire. And yet, my brothers and sisters, not everyone was cured by Jesus, and not everyone is cured today. Death is a reality. Those two, the little girl and the woman with the hemorrhages, they later died. And so we are today. And so we are guided by the church on this view of the balance of life. And the catechism describes it so well in a short paragraph. It says, originally we start this life, really we start our journey with baptism. For in baptism we die to Christ. And we start this journey of being incorporated into Christ, being in union with him, the union that man had with him before original sin. We do it sacramentally. In a few moments, we will do it by receiving Jesus in the Eucharist. He will become a part of us physically, but he becomes a part of us spiritually in all the sacraments. And so we start that process of incorporation with him. But it'll not be finished in this life. And so we go to the next one to complete that process. There's a beautiful phrase in the preface for the funeral liturgy. It says, for those with faith, for those who believe, death is not the end. It is just a change. We are changed. Death, life is not ended, but changed. And so we go to the next life to have that incorporation completed, the fullness of what God intended for each human being will be completed there. And it's a tension, isn't it? A tension between this life that he gives us to enjoy and have in fullness, but a tension because we know that the completion of this life awaits us in the next. St. Paul knew that tension so well. He told the Philippians as he was sitting in prison, not knowing if he would be killed within the next couple of days or not, but he told them in his letter, he said, to me, life is Christ, and death is gain. If I go on living in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. I shall not know which I shall choose. I am caught between the two. There's a tension, he says, and I'm torn between the two. He says, I long to depart this world and go to Christ, for that is far better. Yet that I remain in the flesh is more necessary for your benefit. parting, however brief it may be, in death, and this life is hard. It's hard for those to watch those we love go ahead of us. And we're sad, and we grieve, and we mourn. And yet we have the hope that for them life is not ended but changed, and for us, we too will join them someday. And so, my brothers and sisters, we live this tension in our life, valuing this life that God is giving us, enjoying it for so long as He lets us enjoy it, but realizing that's not the end, that our true home is with Him, that we will go fall asleep and awake eyeball to eyeball with Almighty God, with pure love.